guys. Welcome to Archive TV. I'm Shane. He's Fletch. And we are back for another concentrate review. Checking out some more rosin today. What are we looking at, Fletch?
It's actually not rosin. This is just bubble hash.
Really?
Yep. I know. It looks like rosin.
Oh, shit.
But
I ain't gonna lie, it's like the fifth one of these we've done today, and I've gotten used to saying rosin, but I looked down at the table right before we started, and I thought we were doing rosin.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's some full melt, that's for sure. It's a 90 micron first run HP 13 skunk dog that I selected from Gray Skull Seeds, which was a guy in Hawaii. He's since moved out of Hawaii, but he collected the HP 13 and the, I believe it was the Maui skunk dog or the West Maui dog. I'm not really sure which cut. They're kind of similar clones from out there. Not sure exactly which one he used, but I think it's the skunk dog crossed with HP 13, if I remember correctly. And a lot of them just smelled like HP 13 and kind of had that soft resin texture to it. But this one had a really tacky, sticky resin. This one is one of those where the weed's so sticky when you pull it apart, it just it looks like spider webs everywhere from all the heads breaking and stretching. Oh, so it's really, really sticky, and it yields full melt in the 160 micron as well.
Damn. As soon as you said melt, my excitement level jumped up to try this. I'm not going to lie.
And I mean, it's pretty skunky. Like, what I like about it is it's definitely a skunk dog pheno, just because the it has the stickier, more bulbous resin rather than the HP 13's really greasy resin. But the skunky part of it has really kind of shown through to me. It's like a coconut pine, old school skunk kind of smell. Not a little bit chemy, like it smells strong like chem, but it doesn't have the rancidness to it like GMO or Chem D at all.
No, but it's got that skunky chemy, especially on the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that smokes clean and that burns fucking clean too.
Oh yeah, that's, I mean, I don't rosin stuff like that.
Wow. Damn. Wow. I'm glad we saved this one for last.
Right.
This one is definitely a treat right here. There's almost no need to even Q-tip this thing other than just the tiny little bit of oil left on there. Mm-hmm. Damn. Yeah, it's definitely heavy on the skunk side of things. It's
not roadkill necessarily, but there's nothing really else like it to kind of describe it. It's not diesel-y, it's not OG.
It's literal skunky.
Yeah, like a chemi skunky kind of realm.
I should have known too, this when I picked this up, it just felt dense, like hash, mm-hmm. Heavy, you know?
Yeah, no filler, all killer.
Going a little bit warmer on this one.
I definitely went in a little hot, but it's still gets you ripped. And yeah, it's, to me, it's got like a piney coconut kind of.
It's really danky. It just like concentrates right on the tip of your tongue too.
For sure.
Mm. Oh yeah.
No, I've been really stoked with this, and the flower's not particularly impressive in terms of look at all.
Really?
Yeah, looks wise, it kind of reminds me of the old Romulan nugs I used to get. Really dark green plant material and like tight, dense calyx clusters that it's not a dense bud, but the clusters are really tight together and just really, really heavily coated in resin.
Not a lot of hair on it or anything.
No, but it's not bulbous. Material. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
How does it smoke though? It doesn't look the flower. It doesn't look nice. Does it smoke nice?
It's not particularly. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Chem 91, I would say. Very hash planty, earthy hash planty. Some of the like the odor that you get from the fresh frozen, I feel like dies off or you know, kind of dissipates during the curing process, drying and curing of the flower.
This is a great example of one we were talking about too. Like we were doing those other rosin reviews and we were talking about how, you know, there's some terp profiles that just like any amount of heat at all, even letting them sit at room temp, you're going to lose a lot of that. You know what I mean? This is one of those ones where it's like, okay, this qualifies as that top tier special shit that there's no point in pressing this whatsoever.
No.
Well, what are you going to gain from that? You're only going to lose.
Yeah. What I mean, just unique. It's a little bit cleaner on your material or on your equipment, but yeah, you're really not gaining much.
Yeah, this is full melt as full melt gets right here.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
No, I mean, it pretty much looks like oil.
Impressed. Definitely feel a little head change from this one too right away. Like I said, did some other rosin reviews tonight. Back to back to back was already.
Oh, this one got me ripped because I took that one hot.
Yeah, I went in a little hotter on the second one. First,
see,
one
I'm trying to grab both of these and double torch.
You want the beat or the?
No, I'll hit them again. Unless you want to hit it out of this thing.
I kind of want to try out both. Yeah. You know?
Okay, well, I'll heat this up.
One of the other ones we did earlier, I didn't really like it out of here, and then I liked it a lot better off the nail.
Yeah.
Man. Super skunky.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites. It's kind of a little head stash thing. It's not really a production. I mean, it actually yields pretty good, but it's just like there's nothing you can do with it other than make hash with it. And it's a certain crowd that really likes it, and it's not necessarily... It's definitely not a strawberry banana or a papaya type of smell and flavor, which appear to be popular nowadays.
I would grow this just for hash.
It's quite the opposite type of smell and flavor.
If I'm doing a little home grow, I just have like four different varieties, just a little variety for myself. I would grow this just to make hash out of it.
Yeah.
This is.
That's what we do. I run a light or two of it and then just wash pretty much all of it except for maybe an ounce of tops.
How many things of like that do you have around where you just wouldn't keep it for flower form, but you keep it just for a little bit of...
Well, I'd say half the stuff I keep are plants that I don't use for production. I just use them for breeding. Or like what you're saying, for a special purpose variety, like only for hash. Oh, you went hot, like me too.
Too hot. Still taste it.
You went for the scorcher. That's a throwback right there.
Yeah.
I went to the line where it wasn't too much, but you went to dry banger.
I crossed the line. Shit.
But it's like such nice clean hash that even really hot, it's just real danky. It tastes like a dank joint.
Yeah, you could kill a lot of those terps by squishing this, but even if you go in on a hot dab, you're already getting that instant inhale. I always feel like there's something too also, like I don't like when people put a dab on there and let it do its thing and then start inhaling. I kind of feel like that first initial hit when it makes contact with the nail, that's when the most volatile shit is, you know, reacting with it anyway. I feel like that's probably when the most psychoactive shit initially is, everything good is going to, you know, fade off in those first couple seconds.
I agree. If you've spent a lot of time keeping your product cold and frozen and all this stuff until this moment that you smoke it, to maintain as much freshness as possible.
And then you throw it on the nail and you only start ripping it once it's half burnt, you know? I see a lot of people do that.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. I mean, to each their own, but logically, I don't see how that makes sense. I try to hit it. In fact, I like to hit it before it's hot, you know?
Yeah, that's when you really get the pure flavor, you know?
That's why I like cold starts, you know, because if you get it right, it just starts melting, but the thing was still kind of heating up a little bit, so you, like, hit it cold, it's, like, colder, and then it can be really wasteful, but I've gotten some really awesome rips like that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we smoke the same thing couple different ways, normal start first time, and then you do a cold start, and you're like, damn, I didn't catch all those, like, low-temp terps the first couple times around.
Or it just tastes a lot cleaner. Yeah. You know, I'll get, like, the same flavor as I did at the higher temperature, but I got a really nice, crisp, low-temperature vapor kind of flavor from it, which is, you know, it's just... It's not better or worse. It's
depends
just
on your mood.
Yeah, just trying to check out what different shit tastes like. Because there's so many compounds in cannabis that they could all vaporize or convert or something all at different temperatures. And there may be some sort of discernible difference, I would imagine, particularly in taste, based on what temperature you're at. Depending on what compounds it is.
I mean, I noticed a difference just going on the two different temperatures on that thing first. And then this, definitely on the lowest temperature, you definitely got, you know, the truest representation, I would say. But I wouldn't say that's also true for every strain. Sometimes I feel like every once in a while I'll smoke something where it's like that third exhale, for whatever reason, tastes a lot better than it normally does as something else, you know?
Totally.
Usually you get that first good one, then that second one is nice and thick. Sometimes they'll kind of keep rewarding you for a couple more rounds for some reason with some flavors. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I think it's complexity, especially if you have like rosin. It may not be completely homogeneous throughout the batch. You know, maybe a little bit more flavor on this one than the next one. Like I was saying before too, I think clean banger, clean new banger definitely, in my experience, makes a difference. It's a lot of extra work to do it to the fullest extent that it can be done, but there is a discernible difference. And for really unique varieties that maybe have a small window of where they have this really unique flavor before you're burning it, it's like food, you know, you can overcook something and then it's like, well, it doesn't really ever taste the same once you've already burnt the cake.
Yeah, everybody likes their steak cooked a little bit different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you want your cookies dry and crispy, or do you want them nice and gooey in the middle?
I like them gooey in the middle.
Well, and they taste different between that.
That's true.
And so I don't think it's any different, especially with as many ingredients as there is in hash.
Oh, no, man, I like this stuff. This is... no shade on any of this other stuff we reviewed today, but this is my favorite thing to smoke today for sure.
I mean, I think you're a bubble junkie though too.
That's true.
I don't argue with it myself either. When some good bubble is hard to turn away,
especially a true full melt like that. Like, yeah, I'm guilty even of sometimes saying I'm smoking full melt when it's something that would compared. It's a full melt, but compared to this, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
Full melt, and then there's that water, like true, the top.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, not every strain does it, and it's nice to find something that has a unique flavor. And it, also in the skunky realm, which I prefer instead of the fruity side, that yields really high quality hash. And don't even need to rosin it. You get over 160 micron, that's just like this. When you get 160, that's full melt like that, it's pretty awesome.
Those are the unicorns right there.
Yeah. I mean, there's strains that do it for sure, but finding a new one, especially a skunky one, kind of rare.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it at least.
Needless to say, I can barely talk over here. I'm definitely enjoying this one as well. Thank you guys for joining us for another video. Make sure you subscribe, like, press all the buttons, do all the things like I always tell you, and we'll see you on the next one.